listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Farad.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. Coming up tonight after 7, it's Storytelling with a Beat on this week's edition of Snap Judgment. That's tonight after 7 on the Ideas Network.
Now we continue our series of interviews on presidential leadership as a new administration approaches. We've heard over the last few weeks about servant leadership and advice on how not to fail as a president.
Our next guest joined us a couple months back to talk about the concept of mega change, large fundamental changes that can disrupt economies, political systems, and societies. Now he joins us to share advice on presidential leadership in a time of mega change and possible roads ahead for a Donald Trump presidency.
Darrell West joins us now. He's Vice President and Director of Governance Studies for the Brookings Institution. He's the author of Mega Change, Economic Disruption, Political Upheaval, and Social Strife of the 21st Century. Darrell, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Nice to be with you.
Well, first, what kind of mega changes are going on in the world that the next president needs to be ready to deal with?
Well, we're living in an era of Trump, ISIS, Brexit, and a whole backlash against globalization. So there are changes in the economy. Technology is driving a lot of change and disrupting many different sectors. And virtually every country is experiencing governance problems, which means even though all of these problems are taking place, our ability to respond to them has not been up to snuff.
So faced with all that, what kind of leadership abilities would a president need to help navigate that time of churn?
Well, presidents need to think big. And the one thing Trump did, he has obviously many critics in terms of how he conducted his campaign, but the guy does think big. And I think that is something we need in terms of our leaders today, because the challenges are big. And the problem is our institutions are still small and slow. And so we need to gear up and address these changes. We need to think about the economic disruptions that are taking place. The backlash against globalization has created economic anxiety in all of the Western countries. We're seeing that play out in European elections as well. So that's something these leaders need to address.
What would be your advice to the president-elect and his team on dealing with that particular mega change, the disruption, the anxiety about economic globalization? What could he do to help address that without shaking things up for the worse?
Well, the way he addressed economic anxiety during the campaign was to talk about the loss of manufacturing jobs and how he's going to get tough with companies that are trying to move their jobs abroad, and he wants to bring manufacturing jobs back to America. The problem I have with that is not actually an accurate diagnosis of what our economic problem is. Certainly, the loss of manufacturing jobs is part of it, but also because of technology disruptions, we're seeing whole other sectors other than manufacturing lose jobs. We're starting to see autonomous vehicles that are going to be coming in over the next few years. That's disrupting the taxi business, the trucking industry, which is an industry that provides a lot of jobs for working class voters who are right out of high school. Some of those jobs are going to disappear. So there's a much bigger economic transformation, which he didn't seem to grasp during the campaign, but he's going to be confronted with as president.
Before we get to your piece and these four possible roads for a Trump presidency, can you talk a little bit more about what you just said about institutions being small and slow and what the alternative could be going forward?
Well, in the United States, our political institutions were designed for an agrarian industry before the United States became a world power. So, you know, we created this long and complicated process. It's hard to get things done. There are a lot of veto points. It's a fragmented political system. So it's just hard for any of our leaders to take decisive action. And for much of our history, that was okay because we didn't need to really take decisive action. And if anything, we wanted to discourage a kind of large-scale change of that sort. We were happy making incremental changes, and the country did pretty well with that process. But now the world is facing what I call in my book, mega changes. And sometimes these changes unfold very rapidly, like we saw that in Europe with the refugee crisis. And it calls for very strong reactions from a government in order to deal with human suffering or deal with some of these longer-term changes. And the problem is our institutions are just not equipped to deal with this. You know, our decision-making processes are too slow. Oftentimes, our politicians are thinking too small in terms of the scale of problems they're addressing. So we really need to rethink our institutions and the way we are governing ourselves.
Talking to Darrell West from the Brookings Institution, author of the book Mega Change, talking about leadership in an era of massive change. And Darrell, we mentioned that piece that you wrote on four possible roads for the Trump administration. And based on what you said, I want to start with the last one. One possible answer to slowness of response time to changes would be a changing, less representative government, more authoritarian leadership, more power invested in one person at the top. Do you see this as a likely outcome in a Trump administration?
Well, first, I want to say I am not endorsing this option. You know, I think
right.
this
struck
way.
Me as a worst case from your list. I should
yes.
say that. Yeah.
It would be a worst case scenario. It's not a course of action that I think would be good for the United States and, you know, would create so many different problems. But having said all that, it is a scenario that is a possibility in the Trump administration, because when you look at billionaires around the world who run for elective office, many of them have run and most of them have been successful in actually winning the office. But many of them actually turn out to be authoritarian people who create all sorts of problems for their societies. So there's the very real risk in the case of Trump that this could be an option. For example, you might imagine a situation where there's so much discontent and unhappiness with his administration at the beginning, and then, of course, they're planning to make major changes in a lot of areas. You know, there could be violent protests. There could be urban riots that would be destabilizing for the society. And when you look around the world, when that happens, strong leaders basically use that as an excuse to suspend civil liberties and to move in an authoritarian direction. You know, we've seen that very clearly recently in the case of Turkey. So this is an option we have to worry about. This is not a way to solve our basic governance problems. It would not put us in a stronger position to address mega change, but it certainly is a possibility.
Let's look at another road ahead that you lay out there for a Trump presidency, popular rogue. What would that look like?
Well, we saw during the campaign there were many times where Trump would go rogue. You know, he would just make outrageous statements. He would say, hey, I'm not going to be politically correct. I'm going to say the things that I know you're thinking, but you're too afraid to say. And so he may just continue this pattern once he is president. You know, there's a long history of populist leaders in the United States. You know, Governor Huey Long, Governor Edwin Edwards of Louisiana. These individuals tend to be flamboyant. They're outrageous. Sometimes they're unethical. But yet they often retain a fair degree of popularity with their constituents because they were they would attack the establishment. They would take on the big companies. They would kind of talk the way Trump often talked during the campaign, that the system was rigged and that the little person ends up getting screwed all the time. So, you know, we saw enough of these elements during the campaign that it'll be interesting to see how many of those things Trump retains as president.
We're talking right now to Darrell West, author of Mega Change, Economic Disruption, Political Upheaval, and Social Strife in the 21st Century. He's laying out the challenges facing the Trump administration and possible roads ahead.
Well, here are a couple more options for a Trump presidency, and you can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. What do you see as the biggest challenges facing the new administration? What questions do you have for our guest about this idea of mega change and how the Trump administration could deal with it? Are you worried about the possibility of authoritarian government here in the United States? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll pick up our conversation in just a bit here on Central Time.
This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferris.
And I'm Veronica Rickert, and we're continuing our conversation with Darrell West, author of the book Mega Change. He's sharing leadership advice in a time of fundamental global changes and possible roads ahead for the Donald Trump administration.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. What are the biggest challenges you see facing the next president? What do you want to see from President-elect Trump and his team in dealing with these problems? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll start with a caller. We've got Jim on the line in Rice Lake. Jim, hi.
Hey, Good afternoon. Thank you for having me. My concern for Donald Trump, I mean, I think these fears of totalitarianism, et cetera, are overplayed because there are institutional checks and balances in the institutions of government. My concern about Donald Trump administration is the issue of sheer negligence. Negligence meaning that he would not operate the government with proper due care because of a lack of proper experience in any matters related to public welfare or public administration. And I'd be interested in your guest response. Thank you.
Jim, thanks for that call. And actually, Darrell, that takes us to another one of your four possible roads ahead, a failed presidency for Donald Trump.
Well, I think Jim is on to an important point here, which is Trump comes to office having been a successful business person, but utterly lacking in experience in government. And, you know, when I look at his early appointments, one of my fears is that he's appointing people to lead major agencies who often don't have a background in the subject matter of that particular agency, or they are openly hostile to the mission of that agency. Certainly, the person who's been named to lead the Environmental Protection Agency has spent years suing that very agency. So I think I don't know if I would use the word negligence to describe the risk, but there's certainly a risk that this administration, which is staffed with billionaires, corporate leaders, and generals, is just very different from America. It's different from the people who supported candidate Trump. There's a risk that they will make decisions that will be large scale, but out of touch with the concerns of ordinary Americans. So I think that's something people need to worry about.
Thanks so much for that call. And we go next to Dennis in Washera County. Hi, Dennis.
Hey there. Tying into what your guest just said, this is the poorest county in Wisconsin. And I listened to all the promises that Trump made. Now, I'm a Chicago native who came up here to retire. My partner and I made a huge amount of money, bought a lot of property. We're very well off. We have no economic concerns at all. But the average person up here is living at or below poverty. And, you know, what I'm looking at is the other problem, equally bad, is I work for the Department of Aging just part-time helping with senior meals. The aging population in this state is just beyond belief. My department, the Department of Aging, did a survey, and it showed that except for Madison, which is Dane County, and Milwaukee County, three-fourths of the state will be at or near 50 to 55 years old in a matter of just 8 or 10 years.
Dennis, thank you so much for bringing that up. And what do you think about that, Darrell? How would a Donald Trump administration address an aging population and resource problems, especially in rural areas?
Yeah, certainly, you know, many of the people who voted for him are people who have not shared in the prosperity that we've seen on the East Coast as well as the West Coast. And I certainly understand their frustration. But when you look at what Trump has said he wants to do and also what Republican leaders in the House and Senate have said they want to do, their economic program is basically tax cuts, 50% of which will go to the top 1%, and deregulation. This is not a program that's going to help that poor person living in the county where Dennis lives. You know, people basically, you know, need resources in order to do consumer purchases, in order to lift themselves out of poverty. And my concern is that there's a mismatch between what Trump said he was going to do in the campaign and the economic policies that they are proposing at this point. And I think it presents a very real risk for a President Trump in the sense that he campaigned as a successful businessman who knows how to create jobs and rebuild the economy. But right now, the national unemployment rate is 4.6%. I mean, that's pretty close to full employment. It's actually hard to imagine that rate getting much lower than that. If unemployment starts to raise, if inflation comes back, if interest rates start to rise, that's going to cut into the economic narrative that candidate Trump presented himself with. And so I think that would create a lot of problems for him and his popularity as president.
Let's touch on the fourth road you lay out in your piece, and you're kind of getting to some of the policies there. Donald Trump as a pretty much traditional Republican, and some of his appointments might fit in some of the things he's doing. What would that look like?
This is probably the most likely scenario, at least for the first year of a Trump presidency, just because people need to understand that, you know, it wasn't just that Trump won the presidency, but there are GOP majorities in both the House and the Senate. And when you listen to the House and Senate Republican leaders, their economic program is very much the Republican orthodoxy of tax cuts, deregulation, and repealing Obamacare. And my concern is that those policies are not going to help the very people who put Trump into office. You know, those working class voters in Wisconsin, in Michigan, in Ohio, and Pennsylvania that just feel like they're not doing very well. Their children are struggling. They don't feel like they have the opportunities that they want. I don't see the programs that these Republicans are proposing are going to address those concerns. But yet, you know, this seems to be the route on which the new Trump administration is on. And given the fact that they have majority control of both the House and Senate, I'm expecting a first 100 days agenda that's going to shock people. We're going to have our own domestic version of mega change because we're kind of used to congressional gridlock. You know, Washington can never do anything. I think people are going to be shocked at how much legislation moves and how fundamental and how transformative some of that legislation is.
And Daryl, as we wrap up, what do you think about the way we should respond to that mega change so that it's not just traumatic, but maybe could be productive?
Well, there certainly are many positive mega changes that are taking place in terms of new opportunities through technology, new biomedical research, research on neuroscience. You know, people are developing a much better understanding of the brain. But in terms of the government aspect, you know, people need to realize that, you know, we're at a point where there's likely to be large-scale changes in terms of domestic policy. And if they like that, you know, they should communicate those preferences to their representatives. And if they don't like it, you know, if they're worried about holes popping up in the social safety net, they need to get organized and communicate their views on that as well.
Daryl, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
We've been talking to Daryl West. He's Vice President and Director of Governance Studies for the Brookings Institution. He's the author of the book Mega Change, Economic Disruption, Political Upheaval, and Social Strife of the 21st Century. You can read his piece on four possible roads ahead for a Trump administration. We've got a link to that up on the Central Time Facebook page.